All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 123. Psalm 123 this evening. All right, Psalm 123, unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful that we have honest psalms. Honest psalms. We've all felt this in some way in our life, where we felt overlooked or neglected or hated or reviled for our faith in Jesus, for our stand on God's word and God's truth and God's law. And we've all felt something of this psalm. So, Lord, we pray tonight we fix our eyes on you. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, is now seated at the right hand of the Father. We pray we fix our eyes on you. And Lord, in a world full of mockers and revilers and truth rejectors, we pray you'd help us give us grace, we ask, to fix our eyes on you and not to be distracted by those things. Help us, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, I just took a line from the psalm as the title of my sermon tonight. That's, our eyes look to the Lord. That's a straight out of the psalm. Our eyes, my eyes look unto the Lord. You know, you guys know this, but context is always key to everything, right? So first rule of understanding the Bible is always context, context, and context. The context of this psalm is rich. They're all rich. You have here God's people who are journeying, always journeying in the Psalm of Ascent. So that is Psalms 120 to Psalm 134. These were the songs that the people of God would sing as they marched their way up to Jerusalem. It's a mountain. It's a little bit treacherous, you know. It could be dangerous. There's animals. There's, you know, thieves. There's people who know, you know, families are going to be traveling. Their guard's going to be down. They're going on a pilgrimage to a feast, and they're easy prey. And so God's people sang on the way to these feasts, and that became the songs of ascent, these special psalms that we have in the Psalter. And this particular psalm was written, you know, sometime after Babylon, the Babylonian captivity, where God's people were coming back to Jerusalem in little groups. And these psalms, over time, became like a little hymnal within the Psalter, right? Little psalms that groups of pilgrims would sing as they go up the hill to worship God. Brethren, the psalms are extraordinary. They span over 1,000 years, right? So the first psalm, Psalm 90, written by Moses. The last psalm probably was Psalm 126, but Psalm 123 would not be too far off. But anyway, you got 1,000 years these psalms were written. They cover every kind of emotion and struggle that we also feel in our lives. And you know, these brethren, they felt struggle, right? They felt the struggle of facing those who taunted them for their faith in the Lord and ridiculed and mocked with their condescending words and condescending stares. But we see here, first of all, that fixing our eyes on the Lord requires that we have the eyes of faith, the eyes of faith. Unto you will lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens, the eyes of faith. It's a psalm of the eyes, right? You've got mentioned four times in our little brief psalm, the eyes. What's your eyes fixed on tonight? What's your mind preoccupied on tonight? What fills your thoughts tonight? Is your eyes on the Lord? You know, brethren, it'd be so easy for these pilgrims as they travel up to Jerusalem to have their eyes fixed on what's behind the next little hedge or the next little cliff. What's waiting to come out and grab me or get me or eat me? And yet the psalmist says, my eyes are on you who dwell in the heavens. You know, we meet people all the time, their eyes are on themselves, right? All their thoughts are on this world. All their thoughts are on their, you know, anxieties and needs, etc. Let us read the psalm, brethren, and have our eyes fixed on the Lord. That is the eyes of faith. And we can give thanks to God because this eyes of faith has been given to us, right? It is a result of new birth. Nicodemus, you must be born again to see. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. If you, brother, have eyes to see the glory of God, if you treasure Christ, it's because God has given you eyes of faith. Praise be to God for that great, the greatest of all gifts. Now, there are some marks of true faith here that we want to think about as we think about the eyes of faith. You know, first of all, just very simply, these are from Steve Lawson's commentaries on the Psalms. Lawson points out that the mark of true faith is, first of all, exclusively on the Lord. Exclusively on the Lord. You who dwell in the heavens. You. You being the Lord. It's emphatic. It's the emphatic position in the Hebrew. Eyes look to you alone. Second of all, it is very personal, isn't it? Unto you, I lift up my eyes. Now, there's children in the room, and I would just remind our children again that children, you've got to do your own believing. You know, you come with your mom and dad to church, and you hear the good news of Jesus, and you're around the Word of God, but you know what? To be a Christian is to have personal faith. Where you can say along with the psalmist, unto you, I lift my eyes. That's personal, real faith. Do you have that? Personal, real faith. There is here a sense of expectation in this faith, right? He's lifting up his eyes. It's a person who has a transcendent view of God. Now, what that does for us in our daily life, right, is you can be so distracted again by the, you know, cares of this world. But those who've had their eyes opened by God's Holy Spirit, they've been granted the gift of everlasting life, they've been born again, even in the midst of life's great trials, their eyes are fixed on the Lord. Think of Isaiah, right? Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, Uzziah, that great king of Israel, king of Israel, he'd been there for 50 years. Judah. He'd been there for 50 years and died. And Isaiah's devastated. Who is our king? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Well, brethren, Isaiah has the eyes of faith. It is a vision. It is extraordinary. But in some way, this is all our stories and the cares and wants of life and the uncertainties of our world. No matter what happens, we have our eyes fixed on the risen Jesus who rules and reigns over the nations and all the affairs of providence. And so we don't tremble. We walk by faith. Now look again at these walking saints making their way up to Jerusalem with all the cares and troubles they could face. They say, unto you, the singing crowd says, unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Brethren, look up to the Lord. Take your eyes off the temporal things of this life and make sure there's room in your life for making your thoughts fixed on Christ and Him crucified, risen again, the sovereignty of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God. Make sure there's room in your life for great thoughts and not just earthly things. For sure we say that this is a reverential walk of faith. They do have a fear of the Lord. It's not casual. It's deep and reverential. They understand that this is the sovereign, this mountain that we are walking up. This is God's mountain. This is God's air. This is God's sunshine. It's reverential. There's a sense of the fear of the Lord and the holiness of God in their walk. Well, that's the eyes of faith. And, you know, our psalmist gives a few illustrations of this faith, doesn't he? In verse 2, easy to see. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until He has mercy on us. You could say that this is like a simple, childlike, trusting kind of faith. Like a servant looks toward his master, like a young girl who's acting toward as a maid toward her lady of honor. Simple, deep, abiding trust. That's what it looks like to lift up our eyes in faith, that we recognize ourselves to be simply servants, right? The Lord is our Savior. The Lord is our Master. He's bought us at a price. We are not our own. And we say along with the way our Lord taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We are completely dependent upon our sovereign God to prepare, to provide for us, take care of us. And blessings, that is, brethren, the blessings of being a follower of the Lord Jesus. In Christ, brethren, God has made us servants. And so it is our high calling to look to Him, to trust Him. Trust Him who promised to give us help in our times of need. So that's the eyes of faith. That's the two illustrations of faith. And here again, to end, is the context of this faith. And the context of faith is the troubles in verses 3 and 4. Look again. You'll have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our souls exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. Now, just a quick editorial note, basically, you know, compare this to what is so often described as modern worship, right? Like what you might hear on K-Love, for example. They would never have lyrics like that. That's scary, and that doesn't sound very happy-clappy, and we want to avoid that. But again, this is one of the great blessings of reading through the Psalms. It is brutally honest. Brutally honest. This is life. A life is a minefield. It is, in many ways, a warfield. And you know what? It's not always sunshine and rainbows in times of ease. The life is full of war. As Christians, we are called to wartime living. We live in a world, as Luther said, that is devil-filled. And it should threaten to undo us. But we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. You know, Paul says this in Ephesians 6. I read this a few weeks ago. I just want to remind you again, Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Brethren, just be reminded again that life is full of conflict and troubles. And that's why when you read verses 3 and 4, some of you, especially adults, say, yeah, that sounds a little familiar. Some of you have had a context probably over Thanksgiving, and you're probably going to have another context over Christmas. We're going to sit down around the table with somebody, and you're going to feel a little bit like you're in the neighborhood of verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 123. You know, you're going to have somebody who does not agree with your worldview, They do not agree with your treasure and love for Jesus. That's not how they want to raise their families. It's not how they want to raise their children. It's not how they want to live their life. And there's going to be conflict. And these verses give us language for dealing with that. Don't be naive, brethren. The world is not a world at peace. We do live, in many ways, in a spiritual war zone. And so Paul's answer to that is, take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Brethren, a psalm like this reminds us to suit up for battle, right? You get up in the morning, you face your day, you get yourself ready, spiritually ready, to face a world where there are mockers and scorners. Funny thing about scorners, some of them say they don't believe in God, and yet they hate God, right? Mockers. Those who revile. Atheists. Agnostics. Sometimes even nominal Christians can be persecutors of God's true church. Nominal Christians who might know the right things to say and when to nod their head, they can also be scorners and revilers. And the tragedy is they don't have spiritual eyes to see the glory of God, right? So, unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. The non-believer, the scorners, those who show contempt, they don't have eyes to see the glory of God. Their eyes are on this world. Their thoughts are on this world, this temporary world. The scorners are blind to the glory of God, to the concerns of God's people. They're also blind to their own spiritual danger that they are in. And so, brethren, let us, by God's grace and power, fix our eyes on the Lord. Now, it very well could be that some of us this week, you know, we've had some struggles and trials, and we might maybe even face some of the things we see in verses 3 and 4 with scorners and mockers and revilers. You know, let's today fix our eyes on the Lord. Just like these marching pilgrims going up to the feast would sing, let us sing that too in our own hearts and souls. That unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Brethren, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's not take our eyes off of Him. Let's look up. Let's look heavenward. Let's make sure that our thoughts are on things above where Christ is. Father, we thank you for a simple psalm like this that really meets us where we are in life and our struggles and trials and tribulations. Help us, Lord, to take the walk of faith day by day. We thank you that you've given us the gift of everlasting life. You have given us supernaturally from heaven the gift of the new birth, that your Spirit lives in us, that you've opened our eyes to Christ and Him crucified, the glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords who condescended and came to the earth that He made and lived for us, lived a life that we could not live, a perfect, sinless, spotless life for 33 years in thought, in word, in deed, never sinning, going to a cross and dying in the place, bearing upon Himself the wrath of God for sinners like us. Lord, we are indeed very thankful that you have given us the extraordinary gift of everlasting life. You've forgiven us of our sins. We pray for any in this room, especially our little ones who may not yet have come to saving faith. And we pray that they themselves will personally and really turn from their sins and trust in the finished work of Jesus and be saved. Bless us, we pray, as we walk together as a church family in the pilgrimage of life up to the New Jerusalem on Mount Zion. We know we have a heavenly home. It's waiting for us. The Lord has promised He's prepared a place for us. There's a house or a mansion with many rooms, and we are thankful for that. Help us, we pray, as we go on this life's walk together in Christ's name. Amen.